But I would speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes when I look at the readings, I find it difficult to quite work out how the selectors have put the various readings together. But today, they do seem to hang together in a unity which at least I can sort of see. I'm sure lots of other times it makes sense for other people as well. It starts off with the Old Testament reading from Habakkuk. And I think a lot of us would share the frustration that Habakkuk expresses. When we look around at the world today, we look at the wars and, you know, the situation in many African countries where they don't have enough food, where there's famine and there's disease, there's natural disasters. And we want to cry out to God, God, what are you doing? Why aren't you doing more? What's going on? And that's a sense of frustration that Habakkuk has when he looks out at the state of Israel, of Judah actually, and just wants God to do something. And God responds and says, well, Habakkuk, there is a bigger plan. There's a bigger plan which I, God, am in charge of and will be revealed in the fullness of time. That was God's message to Habakkuk and his people. We then sort of shoot forward to the gospel reading. There have been many, many parables that Jesus has been telling, many miracles he's been doing, and we come to this stage in the Gospel of Luke, and the disciples say to Jesus, increase our faith. Almost as if, by saying some prayer over the disciples or performing some miracle, magically, their faith would be increased. And again, for ourselves, there's a sense in which we sometimes want our faith to be increased. We want to have more faith. We want to be more spiritual or more holy or whatever that means. And you know, we sort of cry out for that. And Jesus then tells a story about the man who comes back and sees his servant who's doing a good job of work farming the land and gets the servant to make him a meal. And the message there is that actually our faith increases by living out what God has told us to do, what God commands us to do as Christians in our daily lives. We are part of that big picture which God has described to Habakkuk. And God works his big picture out through us as we are today, living out God in our lives. And then we come to the epistle reading, the reading in Timothy. And it's almost like, you know, a year or so ago, we were looking at these chiastic psalms where you can sort of pull bits out and stretch them out and you get to the central meaning when you get to the center. And right in the middle of the Timothy reading, we get some central tenets of truth which sort of hang all things together. The second letter of Timothy is Paul's last letter. It's kind of referred to sometimes as his last will and testament. And what he's doing is in that letter is giving the Christians and the churches encouragement and some guidelines and principles as to how they should live their lives. And right in the middle of the epistle reading today, Paul says three things. He says, fan into a flame the gift that you've been given. The gift that you have got from God is not a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. And don't be ashamed to share what you have, to share the good news of Jesus. Those are the three little sort of nuggets right in the centre of that the passage we had read for us today. And there's lots more in Timothy, as you would expect. But again, what Paul is saying is that what we have, the faith that we have, as small as that sometimes feels, we are to encourage others and we are to encourage ourselves to fan that into a flame, to make it more and more real each day. To put into action the things that we believe. We are to be action-oriented, not just word-oriented, and to encourage each other in doing that, encouraging each other in sharing the good news of Jesus, and to fan into a flame the spark that's within us. And one of the reasons we are to do that is that we haven't been given a spirit of timidity or cowardice or shrinking back, but a spirit of power and of discipline and of love. If you've been watching the news and reading the newspapers this weekend, there's been a big decision that's had to be made. I'm sure you're all aware of that. Did England play Mike Catt or Andy Farrell at centre? It's not a decision to be taken lightly. Now, as we know, we played Mike Catt and the rest is history. It breaks my heart when we beat the Australians, clearly, but there we are. But it was a big decision. But if you think of the England rugby team, and particularly the forwards, you don't get the sense that they have a spirit of shrinking back. Having played rugby and played in the front row, and you're looking at these people eye to eye, again, it's not a sense that they're going to pull back. And that's kind of the spirit that Paul encourages to have, not necessarily of all the aggression and the shouting, but to be that confident, to have that spirit of unity and of purpose. Now, part of that comes from the people who are around us. You know, we have that spirit of power and of unity because of the people who we are and the church that we are in. And it's very easy to feel that encouragement and to feel that support when you're in the front row and the locks behind you are about 6'6" and 23 stone. It's really easy to be encouraged and confident then, but we're not quite like that some of the time. And therefore, we need more than that. And what Jesus says is, we have his spirit with us. It isn't just that we are surrounded by others in the same team, as it were. But Paul says what we have is God's gift of his spirit of power, and that is within us. As we hear and receive God's word, that spirit is within us, and we take part of God out with us when we leave the service. It's not just that we have people around us, it's that we have God within us. And that is the spirit of power that God gives us, that enables us to have that confidence, that enables us to take those actions. And importantly, the third point in the epistle reading, not to be ashamed of what it is that we believe. So that when our beliefs are challenged, when we say something, we have the courage of our convictions. We are confident in what we say. We don't shrink back and acquiesce to somebody who may have challenged us. Yes, we need to listen to everything that people say. We need to hear the questions that they're asking. But we need to respond from that position of confidence and knowledge of having God's Spirit within us. God is with us as we go out. That's why we have the confidence. That's why we cannot be ashamed. And that's why together we're called to fan into a flame the spirit that is within us, so that together we make a difference with God in the world. Apart from a semi-final with France, we don't quite know yet what the future holds for England. For ourselves, we don't know what the future will hold. We don't know what will happen when we walk out and in the week ahead. But we do know that God calls us to be confident, and that God equips us with his spirit of power and love to go with us as we go out into the world. Amen.